This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for joining us in the class of the History of Islam. Today, inshallah, we'll start with the revelation of the message to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, we mentioned a few things before the revelation. One of them is that the Prophet ﷺ used to sit in seclusion for meditation, for thinking about this world, about the creation. He used to sit in Ghar Hira in Mecca. And one day, while he was sitting, he was shocked by a man coming to him, squeezing him and telling him, "Iqra." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma ana biqari." I cannot read, I don't read. Jibreel alayhi salam squeezed him again and he told him, "Iqra," for the second time. And again the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the same response. And the third time, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Ma ana biqari," Jibreel told him, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq, iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama bil-qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam." These were the first ayat that were revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine this situation. You are alone in a place where there is nobody. A man comes to you out of the sudden, squeezes you and tells you something that you cannot do. Iqra. So it was a shock to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was scared, exactly. And he ran to Khadija radiallahu anha. "Zammiluni, zammiluni, dathiruni, dathiruni. Cover me, wrap me up." So this is the natural response from a man who was not expecting this to happen to him. That's how the revelation started. It was surprising to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when we study the seerah, we need to stop at every incident. And one of them is this incident, to compare between the true prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the liars. The liars, they come to you and tell you, "I am a messenger of Allah, I am a prophet." While the true prophets, like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not know what's going on. He did not know that he was chosen for prophethood. He did not know that he is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the evidence that he is the true prophet, because he did not know what's going on. He was shocked. He went to Khadija, scared, and he asked her to cover him. And then she asked him, "What's going on?" And he told her, "This is what happened." What was the response of Khadija radiallahu anha?
She believed
in him. She assured his heart. She reminded him that Allah will never disgrace you. And that's the role of the wise woman, the wise wife. If she was young, maybe that would not be her response. So we learn this is one of the reasons why the Prophet ﷺ married an old woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved her for this incident, to take care of the Messenger ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ received the first revelation. When was that? It was in Ramadan. Allah says in the Quran, "Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran." The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was sent down. It was on Monday. And when you check on the date, it comes to the 21st. The 21st of Ramadan, that's when the first revelation was received by the Messenger ﷺ from Jibreel alayhi salam. So the Prophet ﷺ did not know what's going on. And he asked Khadija radiallahu anha to help him. And she helped him. Not only that, but she went to a wise man who was her relative. Who was it? Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Waraqa ibn Nawfal. He was a Christian. He was a priest who knew the scripture of the people of book. So Khadija radiallahu anha took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Waraqa ibn Nawfal to ask him, So the Prophet ﷺ told him what happened. And Waraqa gave him the glad tidings that he is a prophet. And not only that, Waraqa felt sorry because he knew that his death is approaching. And he said, had I been a youth, when your people will cause you to leave Mecca, I would support you as much as they can. And the Prophet ﷺ was surprised. Are they going to do this to me? Waraqa said, yes. No one came with the same message that you came with, except that he was expelled from his city. So Waraqa, he believed in the Messenger ﷺ. He was one of the first people to believe in the Prophet ﷺ. Then Waraqa died. He died. But we learn from this that Waraqa was a believer. He knew that there is a messenger coming, and he believed in him. Now there are other people who were expecting a prophet to come, like the Jews. But when he came from the Arab, they rejected him. They did not believe in him. While Waraqa, he believed in the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a Christian, yet he believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened to him? Waraqa. He died shortly, right? He died shortly after that. Is he going to be in paradise or in hellfire?
Paradise.
He's going to be in paradise? Why?
Because the moment he heard what happened, he believed in him because he knew a messenger.
He believed in him. The Prophet ﷺ, actually, he was asked about Waraqa. And he said, I saw him in paradise, wrapped with garments. So Waraqa was in paradise. The Prophet ﷺ testified for him. Is there other people who believed in the Messenger ﷺ even before his coming?
Yes, the priest when he was born with his uncle.
Bahira?
Yeah, Bahira.
Bahira. But we don't know what happened to Bahira. In Arabia, in Quraysh, were there some people who were on the monotheism religion, on the monotheistic religion, on the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam? There were actually. Yes. Very good. Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail. Who is Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail? He's a relative to one of the companions. Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail. He's the uncle of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And again, he is also in paradise because the Prophet ﷺ testified for him. He was asked about him. Actually, before the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ, when Zayd was alive, he used not to eat from the dhabiha of the kuffar, the pagans, because it was not slaughtered on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one time, the Prophet ﷺ produced food for him. Zayd did not know that the Messenger ﷺ also was on the religion of Ibrahim. He did not worship the idols. But Zayd did refuse to eat because he did not know. So Zayd, also another man. There were not a lot of people, but they were few. One of them is Qus ibn Sa'ida al-Iyadi. He delivered very eloquent speech in Uqaf. أيها الناس اسمعوا وعوا من عاش مات ومن مات فات وكل ما هو آت آت ليل داج ونهار ساج وسماء ذات أبراج. He gave very eloquent speech. The Prophet ﷺ also spoke about him. There is another man. His name is Umayya ibn Abi Salt. He was a poet. And he had very nice poetry about monotheism, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the problem, he was alive when the Prophet ﷺ received the revelation. And Umayya, he was expecting to be chosen. So he did not believe in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? He felt that he is more worthy of the prophethood than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to his poet. And he said his poet believed. His poetry believed. Because the poetry that Umayya gave, composed, it was nice. But his heart disbelieved. آمن شعره وكفر قلبه. So he died as a disbeliever. Umayya ibn Abi Salt. he was on the right track, he was following the true religion, but once he knew that the Messenger ﷺ is the true Prophet of Allah, he did not believe. And this tells you again, it's not according to your ability, your qualifications. It is by choice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah chooses the prophets. It is the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you know this is a prophet of Allah, you believe in him. You don't say, I may be bitter. He cannot be a prophet of Allah. After that, after the first revelation, the wahi paused for some time. And there is a wisdom behind that also. Why the wahi was paused? To give time to the Messenger ﷺ, to ask himself what's going on. What is happening to me? The wahi was paused. For how long? Some narrations say a couple of months. Some narrations say a few days. Other narration says years, which is a weak narration. How the wahi come to the Messenger? How does it come? By Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. How?
In the form of a man.
In a form of a man. The wahi comes in different types. One of them is the form of a man. Jibreel alayhi salam comes in the form of a man, and he talks to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it happened a lot. What else? The angel in his original form. What was the original form of Jibreel alayhi salam?
600 wings.
600 wings. He covers the horizon. He covers the horizon. It is a great scene. And it is also terrifying. The Prophet ﷺ saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his original form only twice in his entire life. Only twice. What else? The true dreams. The Prophet ﷺ used to see dreams. And the dreams of the Prophets, they are wahi. Only the dreams of the Prophets. Not the righteous people, not the regular people. Only the Prophets. That's why when Ibrahim ﷺ saw in his dream that he is sacrificing his son, he had to fulfill it. Because it was a dream. And the dream of a messenger is wahi. What else? Straight from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking to him. Just like what happened to Musa alayhi salam also. This is another form. Another form what comes straight to the heart of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ نَفَثَ فِي رُوعِي أَنَّهُ لَن تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا وَأَجَلَهَا. So there are times where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have the revelation in his heart straight. It's coming to him. Another form of the wahi, like the toll of the bell. And this is the most difficult situation. The toll of the bell, when you hear something, almost the Prophet ﷺ passes out. And the companions used to describe that the Prophet ﷺ in the cold night, in the winter, he sweats because of the wahi. It's a heavy thing. Sometimes the wahi comes and the Prophet ﷺ is riding the camel and the camel cannot carry the Prophet ﷺ. It sits because of the heavy wahi. And that was all over the shoulder of the Messenger ﷺ. So the wahi is not an easy thing. It's responsibility and it's a difficult thing as well. So these are the types of wahi, six types of wahi. Yes. Yeah, he definitely was, he had more strength than other men. So now, the wahi came to the Messenger ﷺ, and throughout 23 years, it came in different forms, six or seven forms. Now the wahi paused for some time, for a reason. And now, the Messenger ﷺ is ready to receive the revelation. In Mecca, there were three stages of da'wah. It is divided to three stages. The first stage, it was the secret da'wah for 3 years. And the second stage, it was open da'wah in Mecca for 7 years. This is 10 years. Then, there was the third stage, which is for 3 years, for outside Mecca. So we have 3 years in secret inside Mecca, 7 years inside Mecca, open da'wah, and we have 3 years outside Mecca. This will help us understanding better the situation every time, in every stage, which stage this incident belongs to, why this happened. This division will help us. And in Medina, there were 10 years, and also it is divided to stages, which we will discuss, inshallah, in the second semester, when we study the Medinan era. Now, we will start with the first stage of da'wah, the first 3 years. It begins by the wahi, coming again to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the revelation. What was the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received after the wahi was paused? Exactly. Ya ayyuhal mudathir. It was the first surah comes to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa'anzir wa rabbaka fakabbir. O you, the one who wraps himself, go and warn your people and glorify your Lord. The first surah was Surah Al-Muddathir. Unfortunately, in the tafsir, I read many tafsir, interpretation. Al-Wahi, the Quran says, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahir, wa rujza fahjur. These are commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa thiyabaka fatahir, most of the translations, they say thiyabak means your garments, your clothes. While thiyabak here, in this ayah, it means your heart. Cleanse your heart, purify your heart. That's the wahi. It's purification for your heart. Thiyab in Arabic, it means the garments, what you wear, and also it means the heart. In one of the lines of poetry from Antara, the famous knight, he said, فَشَكَكْتُ بِالرُّمْحِ الْأَصَمِّ ثِيَابَهُ. I penetrated his heart with the spear. What was the word used? فَشَكَكْتُ بِالرُّمْحِ الْأَصَمِّ ثِيَابَهُ. لَيْسَ الْكَرِيمُ عَلَى الْقَنَى بِمُحَرَّمِ. So it is the heart. And again, this is what we discuss in tafsir. Sometimes the translation is inaccurate. So there are a few issues about the tafsir. But with this revelation, the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to deliver the message to the people in secret. So who was the first to believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Khadija radiallahu anha. Who else? Waraqa bin Nawfal. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu. Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. So we have Khadija, we have Zayd ibn Haritha, we have Ali ibn Abi Talib, we have Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Why those were the first Muslims? The closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take another look to those people. They establish a harmony. We have one woman, one freed slave, one boy, one youth, one merchant. So from all walks of life, people believed in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a lesson we learned, that da'wah has to be preached to everybody. You should include everyone in your da'wah. Do not limit your efforts in da'wah to women only, to a specific race, to to a specific age, to a specific rank, to everybody. Poor or rich, old or young, men or women, they should all receive the da'wah. They were the first Muslims. Then who comes next after them? Now those were the first believers. Then, of the believers, we have Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu. Who invited him to Islam? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who invited him to Islam? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who invited him? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Talha ibn Ubaidillah. All of them, it was the effort of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What do you learn from this? Da'wah needs strength. It needs power. It's very important to target the people in power who have status. They will help you. Yes, you don't forget others, but it is important to target those people in da'wah. We need to learn from this nowadays in order to have a successful da'wah. Imagine if one man, like Bill Gates, like the president, like any other person who became a Muslim, how many people will follow him? Until this very day, you have lots of African Americans who reverted to Islam, and you ask them why you became Muslims. And they tell you, we read the story of Malcolm X. It influenced us and we became Muslims. People may die years and years ago, yet their influence is still until now. Yes, and he was. And he was. He was a leader. And actually the Prophet ﷺ, he focused many times on the rich people because he knew how much they could help Islam. So in da'wah, you need to target everybody. Not only the poor people, the prisoners, the inmates, the weak people. Yes, you include them, but you should focus on everybody. So now, we are in the first stage of da'wah, which is the first 3 years. And in these 3 years, the da'wah was secret. What do we mean by secret? They did not talk to other people. If they pray, do they pray publicly in front of everybody? No. If they meet, do they tell everybody, we have meeting, we have gathering, so we invite you? If they wanted to tell someone, they don't tell him unless they are sure that he will most likely accept the da'wah. So we learn from this also that when you ever start a project, at the initial stages, try to make it silent, secret. Because sometimes, if everybody knew about it, what will happen? You may lose it. Imagine if everybody in Mecca knew about the da'wah of the Messenger ﷺ, and they all wanted to fight it, and they were only few people, 6, 7, what will happen to them? They will get killed and the da'wah is over. Sometimes people are derived by their emotions, their excitement. That's not enough. You have to be wise in da'wah. So this da'wah lasted for 3 years. Now, although it was secret, but it was not 100% secret. We mean by that, some people, they heard about it. But if the kuffar also heard and they come, they don't see anything. So they don't care. So sometimes it is good to keep things in secret. Then we move to the second step, which is the da'wah in public, but also for the people in Mecca only. It started after 3 years. But how it started? And why the Prophet ﷺ changed now to this stage of da'wah. What happened? He was asked by Allah, how? There is an ayah, it was revealed. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ And warn the nearest kinship of your family, of your tribe. This is in Surah Al-Shu'ara. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ So the Prophet ﷺ, he understood from this ayah that it's now time to move publicly to the people. After you established the foundation, you had strong people for 3 years, enough. Now you move forward. So what did the Prophet ﷺ do?
Did he start spreading the word?
He started spreading the word. How?
He gathered the people.
He chose the best location where he will find the biggest gathering. He climbed the Mount of Safa. And he called on the people. And all of them came. And he told them, what do you say if I told you there is an enemy behind this mount coming to attack you? What would you say? They would say, we believe you. Because you are trustworthy. You are a truthful man. You don't lie. So he said then, I am a warner from a punishment. I am the messenger of Allah. Look at the wisdom of the Messenger ﷺ. He wanted to prove to them that he is a messenger by reminding them that he is a truthful man. He doesn't lie. And once they approved what he said, he then told them the purpose of this gathering. He chose the best location. All these steps of da'wah are lessons for us to learn from. Many times, we make mistakes in da'wah because we don't study the strategy of the Messenger ﷺ, how he performed the da'wah. So what happened? Were people receptive? Did they accept what he said? He received rejection from the very close people to him, from Abu Lahab, who told him, تَبَّنْ لَكْ Woe to you, that's why you gathered us? And the surah was revealed, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد. This surah was revealed upon this incident when Abu Lahab told him, تبد لك سائر اليوم. Is that why you gathered us? The Prophet ﷺ used to focus on the people during pilgrimage, during the Hajj. Because again, that's the biggest gathering. So you target these gatherings. Less effort, more people. Better da'wah. Sometimes you focus on 2-3 people and you spend lots of time and there is no result. You target everybody, but you be smart also. Be smart and remember to target the biggest gatherings. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ tried to do. Now for 3 years before this, the disbelievers did not know about the da'wah of the Messenger ﷺ. And this again tells you the well planning and the leadership of the Messenger ﷺ. Something is secret, you keep it secret. You did not receive the permission to tell everybody, you don't tell everybody. This is the great leadership of the Messenger ﷺ. Now, why the people refused this da'wah? Wasn't it good for them to become Muslims? Which is better, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to worship many gods? Why? Why it is better to worship Allah alone? Why didn't those people who already witnessed that the Prophet ﷺ is their trustworthy, why didn't they believe in him? They believed that they could leave their trusts with him, their money, and he will pay it back to them. But why when it comes to religion they did not believe in him? Why the kuffar fight Muslims from that time and every time, even now? Wouldn't the world be a better place if people embraced Islam? Would it or it would not? So why people don't do it? Why this happens?
It's a test.
It's a test for the Muslims. But what about the people? When you know this is better for you, why don't you do it? There are many reasons. First of all, this is the nature of this life. Shaitan is smart. That's where the shaitan is working on people. He's trying to tell them that this is better. Following our whims and desires is natural. Why would we follow a messenger who tells us what we do? We know what we do. We are mature enough. That's the response of many people. Why would we follow someone who instructs us or tells us, you do this, you do that? We know everything. We don't need you to teach us. Why don't I become the messenger? Envy. Many people, they know that this is the right thing, but they refuse to do it because it came from you. If they are the ones who said it, they will do it. But because you said it, they will not do it. Arrogance. That's what happened to many people. They knew that Muhammad ﷺ is a messenger, but they rejected that. Why he is the messenger? He's no better than us. So there are many reasons, but that's the nature. That's the nature of this life. That's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the true religion will be fought. But it will be victorious every time. Now, the kuffar knew about the da'wah. Knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling to Islam. Some people, they accepted this da'wah and became Muslims. But most of them were they strong people or weak people? They were the slaves, the weak people. Why?
Why did they become Muslims?
Yeah, why not the rich people?
Arrogance.
Arrogance, exactly. You will lose your premium things, you will lose your status. You are a leader. Now you will be equal to a slave. While for the slave, it makes him equal. It gives him his rights. That's why mostly the followers of the true religion are the weak people. Abu Lahab, he used to physically harm the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to put the trash in the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He and his wife, Umm Jamil, was called Umm Lahab. They used to imagine when your uncle, the one that you expect from him the most support, he's against you. How do you feel? Many people, they complain. I invite, but no one responds to me. Well, that's what you should expect. That's what happened to the Messenger ﷺ. From his nearest people, from his uncle, he did not only reject him, he tortured him. Abu Jahl, the same thing. Many times he threatened to kill the Messenger ﷺ. And it's your job to read the stories in the book. What did Abu Jahl do to the Messenger ﷺ? What did he do to the Muslims? How did they persecute the Muslims? Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, again, this was done to the Messenger ﷺ himself before the believers. The Prophet ﷺ received large portion of torment from those people. Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, what did he do? He put the trash, the filthy blood of the womb of a camel, she camel, after delivering the baby. He put it over the neck of the Messenger ﷺ while he was prostrating. So no matter how much difficulty you face in the da'wah, you should not complain, because it happened more and more to the Messenger ﷺ and to the Muslims, to the believers. After September 11th, there were some incidents where Muslims abused and discriminated against. Some of them, they did not persevere. Some of them, they were patient. Alhamdulillah, we need to show more patience. Because this is natural. أَحَسِبُ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do you think that you say you believe and you will not be tested? This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ, if he showed impatience, He would tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the first incident, I cannot do it, I cannot take it anymore. He was patient. The more they show ignorance, the more he shows patience and mercy. That's the job of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You are the mercy for all kinds. Al-Nadr ibn al-Harith. Al-Nadr was one of the kuffar. The Prophet ﷺ invites the people. He asks them to come and listen to the Quran. Al-Nadr, he says, after the Prophet ﷺ finishes, he comes and he asks again the people to come and gather him. He gathers them and he starts talking about the stories. Stories of the forefathers of the Arab, stories of other nations. And after he finishes, he tells them, what do you think? Isn't my story better than what Muhammad is telling you? This is counter-dawah. Remember always, if you are resting, the kuffar are not resting. They are working against Islam from day one. From the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Was he the one who used to travel to...
Yes. He went to Asham. He went to other countries just to learn. To learn how he can attack the da'wah of Islam. The da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He learned many stories, so he came to tell them. Just to dissuade people from following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here comes the important question. That's the purpose of this lecture. We need to learn. What should we do? If you are dealing with this situation, people, co-workers, neighbors, what do you do? Leaders, they wronged you. And they said wrong things about Islam, about you, about the Prophet ﷺ. What do you do in this situation?
Be patient.
If it exceeds the point,
you seek help.
When does it exceed the point? You show patience. If someone came to you, he slapped you, do you show patience? He slapped you just because you are a Muslim, just because the way you look, or the thing you say. You say, la ilaha illallah, and they abuse you just only for that. What do you do? A sister hears many evil words just because she is wearing hijab. She is covering herself. What do you do?
It's going to cause more shame in looking at lessons from back and today's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are many, and it's going to cause more harm. I won't. But if I have a chance to defend myself and my religion, I will.
You are strong, and it was only one man. Do you beat him up?
That just shows the person abusing you.
Well, let me tell you this. If people were ignorant and you responded to their ignorance with another sort of ignorance, they said a word and you said another word, then what's the difference? In general, in principle, you show patience. That's true. You should be merciful, as the Prophet ﷺ was. However, when this is happening on a regular basis, you try to teach them, they won't listen. You try to educate them, they won't listen. And every time you become more patient, they become more arrogant. They show more ignorance. Then you have to stop it. You should stop it. Now, Islam does not tell you, you become naive, and they slap you on the right cheek, you turn to them the left cheek, and after that you bow to them, and they slap you and you prostrate. Islam does not tell you this. You show patience. You show mercy. You educate them. You teach them. You forgive them once, twice. But once it's happening always and always, you have to stop it. We learned this again from another incident. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to circumambulate the Kaaba. And the kuffar, every time, they make fun of him. And the Prophet ﷺ is showing them patience. Every time, they wrong him. One time, they exceeded the limits. And by far, they exceeded the limits. And they laughed and they told the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this message? What are you telling us? What will happen? Each one of them says a word. After they finished, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, I came with slaughtering you. جئتكم بالذبح. I came and I will slaughter you. That's what he told them. What happened? All of them were silent. No one could utter a word. After some time, they told him, go and no one will harm you. Now, in that situation, it was suitable for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show them strength, to tell them harsh words. That's not recommended in all situations. That's not recommended in specific situations. In general, you show patience. But look what happened. After he told them that, all of them, they kept quiet. Because he was able to do it. And he knew what will happen. Now, it's not the same when you have a priest or a rabbi who is friendly to Muslims, who invites you to talk about Islam, and he gave you a fair chance, and you come and you choose the wrong places from the Bible, from the Torah, to show it to them, to insult their religion. That's not appropriate. However, if there is another man who is insulting Muslims always, and he picks on you, and he brought you just to make fun of you, then it is suitable maybe at that time to face him with the same thing. He tried to make fun of you, you make fun of him. You tell him, what are you following? And this, in general, it's not recommended to offend people's religions. So again, da'wah, you need wisdom in da'wah and knowledge. Both of them are required. One of them is not enough. You may have the wisdom, but you may not have the knowledge. You may have the knowledge, but you may not have the wisdom. You have to have them both, plus the sincerity in your heart. Your job is not to attack people, offend them, put them down. Your job is to guide them to the true path. With this, we will conclude our session, inshallah, for today. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.